Guten Abend und herzlich willkommen im Gemeinde Christi. I would have started that out where I was back in Germany, but basically, good evening and heartfelt welcome to you that are here at the Church of Christ. So, I'd like to say thanks to everyone for your prayers, your letters, your thoughts for me and my family. I do appreciate it very much. Thank you. I'd like to say thanks to the elders here and the congregation for allowing me to come before you this evening and present God's Word. I can say hopefully not only was it edifying for me, but also for us collectively, that we may let our light shine in a world of darkness. How do you survive a storm? Many of us, as we live on the earth here, we experience storms, whether it be a hurricane, a rainstorm, a hailstorm, some catastrophe, hopefully not, but a natural disaster or a natural occurrence, weather, occurrences in weather. This is not a speech on emergency management, but tonight we will reference Acts chapter 27, be verses 21 through 44, 21 through 44. And basically, this is Paul and what occurred during him being transported on a ship in the Mediterranean and some of the activities and actions that occurred. And we're going to break that down, of course, look at what happened, but also make a spiritual application so that it will help us not only maybe better understand what's going on, but hopefully we can apply it in our daily lives. We've got to remember that storms will occur in nature. We just had one recently, didn't we? Besides wet stuff, we got white stuff. Got some snow out there, didn't we? But in life, we're going to experience storms, aren't we? Is there anyone here that hadn't had difficulties in life or some kind of experience that you would deem like a storm or some difficulty? I thought maybe I was doing something wrong. So all of us have established that we're going to have difficulty or things are going to happen. Let's look over at Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. So, weather's going to happen on people because weather is occurring, and you could apply this to bad situations can happen to people or difficult situations can occur. Sometimes things are out of our control, right? Not everything's under our complete control. Definitely under God's, but not me as the individual or us as mankind on the earth. We can't command a hurricane to go somewhere else. We can't make that change. So things are going to happen, and we have to be prepared for those. We have to prepare ourselves. Let's look over at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. 'Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Let's also look at verse 16, please, in the same chapter. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. So we got to remember that trials and tribulation and difficulty is going to come, and we need to make sure that it's because we're a Christian, not because we're doing evil or bad things or doing what I want to do, but we're doing God's will. We're going to experience that difficulty. We're not going to be accepted by the world or everyone in the world. So we have to be prepared for that mentally, emotionally, with our families. We have to prepare ourselves with God's Word. So now we're going to turn over to Acts chapter 27. So we're going to look a little bit more at the occurrence of Paul and the storm. So Acts chapter 27. It'll be verses 21 through 26, but let's look at verse 21 here. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. So we see here, if you kind of look at that, he was warning them. He's saying, you should have listened. Do we need to listen sometimes? Do we need to not have the last word? Maybe it's time we need to hear the last word. So he was warning the people. And if you look back in a previous verse in this same chapter, you'll see that he had told them this before. And we'll look at that later. But a lot of times, we're being urged to listen. We need to listen to God's word. We need to listen to the elders. We need to listen to those that are trying to help us, to make us better, especially on a spiritual level, on spiritual matters. Because we have to remember that if we're founded or grounded in God, as we read in the first scripture there in Luke, during the opening of the service there, we have to build upon that rock. We have to build upon Christ. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. Romans chapter 8, 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So we have this as a promise, a statement inspired from the apostles, from God, written to the Romans and also speaking to us today, that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. God loves us. He cares for us. Just as we love our family and our loved ones and those around us, we're willing to help them. And we go that extra step, that extra mile, as we should for brothers and sisters in Christ, as we should our actual physical and our family brothers and sisters. We need to be of good cheer. It's going to be difficult. Does that mean we get a sour face, get all mad about it, going to break something? That's probably not the right thing we need to approach it with. Let's look over at John chapter 16. John 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So we see here that Christ is speaking, if you read the chapter here. And it's also for some of you that have the red letter edition. It's in red letters. So we see here that Christ has overcome the world, and through Christ we can overcome. Not of my own, not of any other religion or creed, but through Christ it is achievable. It's possible. It can be done. So we have to trust in God. Just as the centurion or the boat launcher, if we look back at Acts chapter 27, they should have trusted in what Paul had to say. But did they listen? No. So we need to listen to God. We've got to remember, too, that we need to continue to listen and be strong. Let's look back at Acts chapter 27. So if you like, just continue to keep this marked in your book, because we're going to be referencing back and forth on that one. Acts chapter 27. We'll look at verses 22 and 23. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and of whom I serve." So we see here that Paul is telling them the ship will be lost, everyone will be spared or saved. If we listen to God and God's Word and those that are representing what God's Word has to say, then we have protection, we have guarantees, especially from a spiritual standpoint. This is a physical standpoint that these people are being spared. But we need to be spiritually spared. Spared from tribulation, spared from the sin, spared from the penalty of sin, the punishment that awaits if those that don't make the change. Because we have to be with God. Let's stay in Acts chapter 27. Let's look at verses 10 and 11. Acts 27, verses 10 and 11. "And said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be hurt and much damage, not only of the landing and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul." So basically in verse 10, the ladling or the cargo is going to be lost and the ship. And also lives could be lost. But people have to do something. What did they have to do? They had to listen. They had to be obedient. They had to do what Paul is telling them to do and not do. And we're going to look further at that. "But nevertheless, the centurion," which is it's like a Roman official, military, equal to a sergeant or an officer, and they're in charge of other legionaries or soldiers. So he's responsible for these soldiers, but also for these prisoners. And, of course, he's going to listen to an expert. Hey, we're going on a ship. Listen to the captain of the ship. He should know better. He knows the weather. He knows what's going to happen. And so he's going to listen to him, and they decide to launch the ship, the vessel, out into the ocean blue and make this trip. So sometimes as we travel through life, do we pick and choose who we listen to? Sure we do. Hopefully we're listening to someone that's informed, someone that's honest and truthful, someone that has our best interest at heart. Are there people that don't? Absolutely. Starting with the devil, running down to someone that doesn't like us or has ulterior motives for what they're trying to get us engaged in. So we need to listen to the right people for the right reasons at the right times so that we can hear and make good decisions based on what we've heard. So we need to listen to God to help make those right decisions, especially spiritually. Let's look at, stay in Acts chapter 27. We'll look at verses 33 through 35. Verses 33 through 35. "And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Therefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat." So we see here that he's trying to prepare them. Paul knows what's about to happen. If you continue to read the story here, the occurrence, the ship's going to get broken up. It's going to break apart. People are going to have to bail out of the ship or get forced out of the ship. But they need their strength. Can you go days and days and keep your strength without eating and drinking? No. We have to eat, just spiritually speaking. Can we go days and days without reading God's Word? Can we spiritually grow if we're not including God in our life? We can't. So just as they took meat and ate, or food and ate to sustain themselves for what's about to happen, we too have to feed spiritually upon God's Word, His promises, through faith, through the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can weather these storms, so that we can face trials and tribulations on this earth or difficulty. It's not going to be easy, but God will help prepare us. If you look here too, just a side note on verse 33, it says 14 days. A lot of people have stated that this trip should have only taken 14 days, roughly, to make. But where are they at this 14th day point? They're still out on the ocean, fighting the storm. Everything's in doubt. There's this great storm, and they could lose their life, lose the ship, lose the cargo. So they should have been in port, but they're not. Sometimes things aren't on our time, is it? Maybe on God's time, maybe on the situation's time. But everything is fundamentally on God's time. It's not on my time, not on your time. We can't control time. Time is a very precious commodity, if you want to call it that. I can't make it. I can only spend it as it's given. And there's no more to spend when I have it. And there's no way to bank it and save it. So what do we do with that moment in time? What are we doing now to spiritually prepare for eternity? Are we wasting it? Are we properly using it? Are we preparing ourselves for a future with God in heaven? Verse 34, he has to ask others to do this. As we make our spiritual journey, are we alone? Sometimes it feels like it, but we're not. We have Christ, we have God, but we have others there with us, right? We're influencing those around us, for good or for bad. So just as he had to encourage them to eat, sometimes we have to encourage people to eat, to feed spiritually upon God's Word. We have to encourage them. We have to help them. We have to be there for them, not just for ourselves, but for others. And he also talks to them in verse 34. And then in verse 35, what did he do? Who did he recognize? He gave thanks to God. We need to pray to God. We need to be thankful for God. We need to pray for God for help, for encouragement, that we may help others and that we are helped. So he turned to God in this difficult time, Paul did, and he thanked God for the bread they're about to eat. Just as we need to thank God in difficult times. Do we give up on God? God didn't give up on us. So we need to continue to stay faithful. Continue to stay on course, even though it may be difficult. It may seem impossible. We may lose the ship. What we thought we had may be gone. But we may have our life. We may have our soul salvation left. Just as we travel upon the waters of life, we don't know what is beneath us, around us, or what storm awaits us, just as this ship. But we can survive in the Lord. Let's look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. So we got to remember that through Christ we are sustained. Not of our own power, our own will, or of any certain special name or formula or potion or whatever, talisman, whatever people may use at the time or think this thing or my lucky shirt. It's not going to be that. It's going to save us in that great day. It's going to be Jesus. It's going to be Christ. Because the Lord delivers. Let's turn over to the Old Testament. Turn to the book of Psalms. Look at chapter 34, Psalms 34, be verse 17 and then verse 19. Psalm 34, starting in verse 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. So we're going to have afflictions. Being faithful, being a Christian, it's not a badge of protection. It does not ward off evil and temptation and difficulty from us. If anybody's found that to be true, let me know. Maybe we're doing something wrong. But we all know, as the Scripture points here, that we're still going to have difficulty. We're going to have those moments of weakness. That time that we're going to fall and fail. But we got to pick ourselves back up. We got to pick ourselves up with the help of the Lord Jesus. We got to continue in that struggle. Stay strong in the fight. Put on the whole armor of God that we can battle against the wiles and temptations of the devil. We don't do it alone. But we got to remember that we have to do all that we can do. Not part of what we do. Not what others always do. But what can we do? What role do we play in all this? Let's look back over at Acts chapter 27. We'll look at verses 38, just verse 38 real quick. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. So what are they trying to do here? The ship is heavy, heavy laden. It's got cargo on it. What's the best way to keep a ship floating? Get rid of some weight, right? So they got to get rid of the cargo and throw it overboard. It's better to sacrifice the value of the cargo than to lose your life. Sometimes in life, do we need to do that? What is our cargo? What's holding us back? What's dragging us back from doing what we should do for the Lord? If we know what it is, we need to do what with it? Cast it out of the way. Remove it. Lighten our load. Just as they did with this ship here. Let's look at verse 40. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves into the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. So not only did they get rid of the cargo, they took up their anchors. What does an anchor do for a ship? It holds it in place. Throw it out, and the ship, if you laden the anchors or lay the anchors the right way, it'll actually stabilize the ship in rough waters or keep it from drifting one way or the other. Sometimes we need to hold true to an anchor. Who's our anchor? Our spiritual anchor. It's Jesus. It's Christ. In those storms, we need to be anchored on Christ. If we're anchored on anything else, it will not weather that storm, that spiritual storm. It won't hold true, as we read in Luke, about building our house. Is it upon that rock or upon the sand? So let us make our anchor in the Lord. And then they committed themselves into the sea, loosed the rudder, hoisted the mainsail, and made toward the shore. We too need to do that. We need to lighten that load. We need to pull up that anchor. We need to get the sail ready, and we need to head toward God. We need to head toward church. We need to head toward those promises that we find in the Scripture. We need to head toward that Bible instead of that TV. We need to head toward Scripture instead of maybe Reader's Digest or my favorite poem or whatever at times. Enjoy yourself. Have fun. But don't let it dictate your life. Don't let it be your crowned prince or princess in what you do in a daily life. So we need to do all that we can do. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hebrews 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, that is your reasonable service. So we need to make sure that we are focusing on God, because we have to be a living sacrifice. I thought a sacrifice was dead. You killed it. Well, we have to kill sin. We have to kill the old sinful behavior and pick up this living sacrifice, living for God, living in Christ, so that we can be holy and acceptable unto God. And this is something that is achievable. It's reasonably asked of God for us to do. It's not impossible. It can be done. So we must remember that. Let's go back to Acts chapter 27. Look at verses 41 and 42. Falling into a place where the two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart struck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers counseled was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. So sometimes on our spiritual journey, there's going to be some damage along the way. We're going to have to break some things off. We're going to have to stop that bad behavior. We're going to have to drop those bad habits. We're going to have to stop the destructive behavior that we may be engaged in or helping others engage in. We're going to have to stop that sin through Christ, through the Scripture, through God's power. But it's going to have to take us an active role in doing something about it. With the help of others and ourselves, doing what we're supposed to do, we can do it. We can make it happen. Let's look at verses 43 and 44. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they could swim, should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. So sometimes we may have to, on those broken pieces that we have left, make it to a better place. Sometimes we may not have a perfect life. It may be fractured. It may be broken. It will be imperfect. But we have to continue that struggle spiritually so that we can make it to that shore, that heavenly home, and be with God. It's going to take some difficulty. It's going to take some action. Some of us may have to swim. If you can't swim, brother and sister, pick up that life preserver. Pick up what you need that will help get you there. There's here many of us here tonight that would be willing to help you any way that we can, spiritually speaking, to get you to that shore, get you to heaven. Because that's what it's all about. We're not going to last forever. Did this storm last forever? Is Paul here in the pulpit able to eyewitness every account? Or Luke, who is the one that wrote this? No. They passed away centuries ago. But we have a written account of what occurred. They're speaking to us through these words, through God's inspiration. And roughly, how many were saved because they listened? How many of us can be saved if we listen to Christ? All of us, right? If we listen and obey and do what God commanded, we can be saved spiritually. Just as with these people, the sailors, the soldiers, the centurion, Paul, the other passengers and prisoners, were they saved? Absolutely. Let's look at verse 37. And we were all in the ship, 260 souls. So what does that translate to? About 276 people. This is not a little dinghy. It's not a rowboat. It's not a small vessel. This is a large ship out on the ocean. Just to give you a context, because it has cargo. It has all these people on it. So this is a large ship. So as we travel in life, we're going to encounter a large amount of people, right? People at work, people at family reunions, people at home, go shopping at the mall. How many people's there? I don't know, hundreds, thousands. We're going to be surrounded by people. What influence do we have on them? What are we doing to influence them for the better? How are we encouraging them to let their light shine? How are we encouraging them to face the truth of what God has revealed to us in the Scripture? We have to do our part, and we have to do the best we can at our part. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, some people probably use this verse all kinds of ways, but just for context of Philippians, who's being talked to? Christians, people already that are in Christ. So it's not some magic formula that we work out ourselves. We still got to use the Scripture, just as these Christians would have, the Philippians would have. But we have to work it out. We have to be active. It's an active role, not a passive role. We have to be engaged. We have to be doing things in Christ, for Christ. We can't sit back on the lazy chair and doze it away. We got to be doing something, because we have to work it out with fear and trembling. So basically, we have to respect it, and we have to know that we have to be able to express it, to share it with others. We can share it by how we live. We can share it by how we talk. We can share it by how we don't do things and how we do other things compared to the world. It may be strange. It may be bizarre. Who is this person? Why do they do that? Maybe they'll ask that question. Whether they verbally express it, they may mentally ask it. We have to remember, too, that out of all this, Paul and those people were saved, just as we can be saved in Christ. It's not going to be easy. There is a difficult road ahead. There's going to be storms and trials and tribulations. But through Christ, we can weather that storm. We are prepared for that shipwreck and be able to go upon those troubling waters and continue to make it to that shore, to heaven. Let's look over at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, and we'll conclude here. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. In like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So how do we weather that storm? How do we survive this storm in life? Or how do we get out of life into eternal life? That's the real question. It's through Christ. It's being baptized, that baptism, that watery grave that washes away our sins. And we come up a new creature out of this baptism, that we now can live that holy and acceptable in service, that living sacrifice that we read about in Christ, serving God daily. If there's anyone here tonight that would like to help weather that storm better and be able to live in Christ and be baptized, we'll afford you that opportunity as we now stand and sing.